I take as my text today from St. Mark's Gospel. And he took the seven loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
I cannot help but take every possible opportunity to talk about the Holy Eucharist as a central act of worship in the Anglican Church. That is one aspect of our Catholicity that we as Anglicans accept, acknowledge, and proclaim. It is a confirmation of our Catholic heritage. Moreover, there is one key element of our liturgical worship that tends to be understated. It is the unbroken connection and the celebration of the Holy Eucharist within the Church today with the institution of this sacrament by our Lord on the night before he died. Though many members of Christ Church have in the last 400 or 500 years taken a contrary position, the validity of the Holy Eucharist as a sacrament nonetheless is dependent on this unbroken connection to our Lord. It is what we call apostolic succession. Apostolic succession is not an accident or an invention of the Christian Church. It draws upon the priestly succession of the Old Testament, which validated the actions performed by the priest in the temple, as the model for the apostolic succession of the New Testament era. Indeed, as St. Paul has stated in his epistles, Christ became the high priest when he offered himself up as a sacrifice before God the Father for all of humankind. We as Anglicans, as Catholic Christians, have as the very basis of our theology the belief that Jesus Christ instituted two elements as necessary to salvation, baptism and the Holy Eucharist. The first makes us a Christian, and the second sustains us as a Christian. Before instituting the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, our Lord on at least two occasions gave his disciples a foretaste. We refer to those occasions as the feeding of the multitudes. In today's passage from St. Mark, we heard the account of the feeding of the 4,000 by our Lord in Galilee. This miracle has been interpreted as extending Christ's ministry to the Gentile because it takes place on Gentile soil in the region of the Greek city of Decapolis. Though some biblical commentators have argued that the feeding of the 4,000 depicted in Mark is the same story as the 5,000, there are equally supporting opinions for two separate miracles. What would the world be without controversy? For me, though, this is another opportune time to take a close look at the Eucharist, or Lord's Supper, and perhaps gain a better understanding of what it means for us. The Holy Eucharist is both a sacrifice and a thanksgiving, often phrased as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We should remember that all that our Lord did when instituting the Eucharist was sacrificial, done in sacrificial terms, at a sacrificial time, or a sacrificial end. What this means is that the Eucharist is more than just a memorial. It is a solemn action in which sacred gifts are offered to God. And those sacred gifts are not just bread and wine, for we offer ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice. But are we really worthy to make such an offering to God? Not hardly, but we do acknowledge our unworthiness and beseech God to accept our bounden duty and service. So in the Eucharist, we make an offering of bread and wine, and we make an offering of ourselves and a self-oblation. We call upon God to send down his Holy Spirit to fulfill the sacrifice similar to the prefigurative fire by which Israel's offerings were consumed before God, signifying God's acceptance of the sacrifice. Through the operation of the Holy Spirit in one of the great mysteries, the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ, which we consume as we feast on the sacrifice, completing the sacrificial rite in a manner similar to that of the Old Testament. What we do in the Eucharist is but an earthly representation of what Christ does in heaven, where in a heavenly oblation he offers a perpetual intercession, not a mere praying for us, but a full exercise of his priesthood as mediator, which has been consecrated once and for all by his death on the cross, a sacrifice that lives on. By this we mean that Christ appears before God for us in heaven, and through the Eucharist we are joined to him. To borrow from the Anglican theologian Francis Hall, what Christ offers above is also offered in the Eucharist below, and the true offerer in both cases is the heavenly priest who suffered once upon the cross. But the Eucharist enables us all through the action of his ministers to take part in offering. The Eucharist is the earthly counterpart of the heavenly oblation, and though the priest stands at the altar and makes the motions, it is Christ who is offering, or in more human terms, acting through the priest. As you can see from the Catholic view, as is our heritage from the traditional Episcopal or Anglican Church, the Eucharist is not just a sometime memorial. It is a corporate act wherein we feed upon the body and blood of Christ in communing with God. We are in communion with him. The elements, which are the offering of the fruits of the earth and ourselves, are accepted and acted upon by the Holy Spirit. We feast upon the body and blood of Christ, not asking how the bread and wine are transformed, but accepting it as one of the holy mysteries, because Jesus Christ said so. In his words of institution, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He said, "This is my body." Likewise, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, again, "This is my blood." To say it is other is to dispute our Lord and Savior. Finally, the Eucharist is a thanksgiving to God for all the benefits which he bestows upon us, both natural and spiritual. The name Eucharist was given to the breaking of bread during the time of the apostles to signify this aspect of thanksgiving. We are indeed thankful that God feeds us with the spiritual food of the blessed body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that through the bread of heaven, we are incorporated into the mystical body of his Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people. As St. Paul states in his first epistle to the Corinthians, "We who are many are one bread, one body, for we all partake of the one bread." In the feeding of the 5,000 at Capernaum, our Lord in his discourse said, "I am the bread of life. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." In modern day terms, we would say this is awesome. Indeed, it is awesome. We may look at the feeding of the 4,000 in today's gospel as the extension of the miracle directed to the Jews at Capernaum in the feeding of the 5,000, extended as a holy communion to the Gentile world, to all nations, to all peoples. The Holy Eucharist is a central corporate act of worship in the Church, instituted by Jesus Christ himself and passed down to us in the apostolic tradition of the one holy Catholic and apostolic Church. Each time the Eucharist is celebrated, we join together with the angels, archangels, with all the company of heaven, and with the whole Church, the body of Christ, in offering this sacrifice of thanksgiving and in receiving the bread of heaven. The Eucharist has been celebrated in the most grand of circumstances and in the simplest. In cathedrals with the ringing of bells and the smell of incense, and in small chapels simply said by a priest. Throughout the world, many churches engage in varying degrees of ceremonial practice, from the ringing of bells to grand processions with incense and tapers. Whatever our ceremonial custom and our practice of the Catholic faith, we accept the real presence of Jesus Christ and the consecrated bread and wine. We do not quibble with human terms. It is a holy mystery, and it is truly awe-inspiring that God should invite us to his holy table. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.